Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philippians, and I've just put one verse there in the bulletin, but I will be reading verses 17 through 21 of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We'll be focusing specifically this morning on verses 20 and 21. For many people, these last two verses of Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, are a source somewhat of controversy. There are some liberal scholars who question whether these last two verses actually belong to the book of Philippians at all. They see the verses that Paul has written, and they say that the Greek is different, they have pointed out. They pointed out that the style of writing of these verses is different, and it certainly, they claim, does not match what Paul has written in other places in the letter. It's almost as if Paul has written these two verses in a completely different way than he's written other portions of the letter of Philippians. In fact, by careful analysis of these two verses, it seems to them as if these two verses take on the characteristics of a hymn. It's almost as if you could read these two verses for the benediction of a church worship service. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. Now, of course, we do not agree with the liberals concerning this verse not being part of the book of Philippians. For God has inspired the Apostle Paul to write this particular letter, and God has carefully preserved his inspired word, which speaks to us plainly and clearly. But that doesn't mean that we should totally reject everything that the liberals have said concerning these last two verses. In fact, a closer examination of the text will reveal that perhaps they are on to something. As you look at these two particular verses, you will notice that they are different than the other portions of chapter 3 and many of the other portions of the book of Philippians. The style of writing is different. The style of writing does take on the characteristic of a hymn. In fact, the style of writing in these last two verses is very similar to another hymn that the Apostle Paul includes in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, the Apostle Paul includes a hymn which is written concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you were to take a careful look at the Greek words and phrases in chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, and chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, there is remarkable similarities. In fact, there are 7 similar words and phrases that are used in these 2 portions of the book of Philippians. Both of these are hymns. And the Apostle Paul is in some way connecting these 2 important hymns together. What is the Apostle saying to the Philippians? What is the Apostle saying to us as he writes these 2 very important hymns and as he makes this conclusion of chapter 3? Well, if you have paid careful attention to this series on the book of Philippians, you know that one of the main themes of the book of Philippians is union with Christ. Well, in chapter 2, one of the points that the apostle is making, in fact, the main point that the apostle is making, is that Jesus Christ, who was by very nature God, humbled himself, came down to this earth in human likeness, taking on the appearance of a man, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And God exalted him. God glorified him for what he accomplished here on this earth. And now as Paul concludes chapter 3, what does he have to say to the Philippians? He tells them that their humble, lowly, earthly bodies will someday also be transformed. They will be transformed into that glorious body like Jesus Christ. You see, what has happened to the Lord Jesus Christ as he has lived his life here on this earth is the same thing, writes Paul, that will happen to the Philippians and to all Christians who know him and who identify with him as their Savior. The life that Christ lived and experienced on this earth is the life that they will live and experience on this earth. The transformation that took place when he was resurrected from the dead is the transformation that will take place when the saints are resurrected from the dead. His glorious body will be their glorious bodies. They are identified together in their union with one another as they live their lives and as they look forward to their future together with Jesus Christ. Now, what great comfort this is to the Philippians. The Philippians are a congregation that has been battered and bruised. They have been arrested and put in prison for Jesus Christ. They have been beaten and persecuted for Jesus Christ. They are becoming discouraged in their Christian walk. And not only have they faced persecution from the outside, but there's fighting amongst one another. And as Paul concludes chapter 3, he reminds them that just because what happened to Christ is somewhat distant from them, it doesn't mean that it's apart from them. In fact, he goes one step further to remind them that what has happened to Jesus Christ is what is going to happen to them. As they identify with him in their union with Jesus Christ, they will identify with his glorification and his resurrection into glory. But now the question might be, what is this glorification? What is this transformation that will take place? There are some Christians who think that perhaps somehow on the day of resurrection, we're going to look like Casper the Friendly Ghost. That somehow we're going to be ghosts wandering around, much different than we ever were before, perhaps even unrecognizable. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you will see that Paul tells us something different in this particular passage. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 50, we read this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses, the Apostle Paul is reminding the church, and he's reminding the believers, that their transformation will take place from their perishable body to their imperishable body. Their same body that they have lived their lives on this earth is the same body that will be raised. This body, which is frail and fragile, will someday be immortal. This body from people who have lived long ago, who seem to have been left behind and forgotten, for many years have been buried in the grave, those that love Jesus Christ will be raised for glory. Those same bodies that died, raised to glory. How much more lowly, how much more humble can a body get than to be lowered in the ground? No matter how wealthy the person on earth, no matter how powerful the person is on this earth, all bodies go to the same place. All people are dust, and to dust they shall return. They shall be buried from their lowly bodies. But Paul promises that the perishable body, the weak and frail body that passes away, will someday become imperishable, that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the saints will transform that lowly, humble body and glorify that body into the likeness of Christ. Bodies that are now weak and sinful, no longer weak and sinful, but controlled by the Spirit and strong. Bodies that get tired now and need to go to sleep at night, no longer will bodies need sleep. For Christ will raise those bodies, and there will be no need for rest, for there is no night in heaven. Bodies that now break down and are injured, people that have sore hips, people that get colds frequently, no longer will these frailties hinder a person who has been raised and transformed. These people will be healed and made well. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, He demonstrated this resurrection, transforming power. He came and lived here, He healed the sick and helped those who were ill. He raised the paralyzed man who could not walk. He healed the man who had the withered hand. You see, there is no sickness and pain in heaven, for a great transformation at that resurrection day will take place in all those who have been sick and lowly and fragile will be healed and made well. And that brings us to the second part of that verse. It tells us, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The transformation will be of such that Christ's glorious body that we know from the scriptures will be how our glorious body will someday look. What did Christ do when he was raised from the dead? Perhaps you remember that he went into a room and all the doors were shut and the disciples were in that room and they wondered how he got in there. Time and space did not limit the Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns and he transforms those bodies, we will be in another dimension. We will live in the type of world of which we cannot understand or know on this earth. And there will be no limitation of time or of space. When Jesus Christ returns, we will be able to move about freely, just as he did. When the disciples saw the Lord Jesus in that room, they thought perhaps that he was a ghost. What did he do? Where did he come from? But Jesus ate with them. The same body that went into the grave is the same body that was raised. The same body that was capable of eating ate with the disciples to prove he was not a ghost. He was the same Savior, the same Lord Jesus. Did Jesus need to eat? Did his body need to be replenished? As he was going through the earth through those 40 days, did he need to stop for supper at night to refresh himself so that he could go on with his work the next day? In heaven, there is no hunger or thirst. Our bodies will not need that kind of refreshment, for we will be transformed and glorified forever. As the apostle concludes his thoughts in Philippians chapter 3, he is directing the people to think concerning the future. The world in which they live is one of pain and hardship. The world in which they live is one of suffering and difficulty. And Paul is concluding his thoughts in chapter 3 with this beautiful hymn, which is connected with the previous hymn, which connects them to the Savior. They need to wait for that Savior who will return. They need to focus their thoughts on the transformation that takes place. For when he comes, there will be no sorrow, there will be no pain. There will be glorification of these lowly bodies that live here on this earth, that are frail and weak, that will someday be glorified throughout all eternity. And how does this take place? How is this transformation going to be accomplished? How is this glorification going to be accomplished? Well, look at that remaining part of verse 21. In my translation, it's at the beginning of the verse. In many of your translations, it is at the end of the verse. But this is how it reads. Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. One of the other issues that the apostle has been dealing with the Philippians, is works righteousness. Within the Philippian church, he writes in verse 3, or in chapter 3, are these Judaizers. These men who claim that by their righteous acts of keeping the law, they can somehow be perfect. That by their faithfulness to the Jewish customs and the Jewish circumcisions and the Jewish feasts, that somehow they can reach a point where they will be perfect, where they will know and experience earthly glorification for their own righteousness. But what does Paul remind them in this concluding hymn? Their bodies will always be weak and frail. no matter how much they try to be perfect, no matter how many righteous things they try to do, no matter how much they think of themselves as having reached some point in their life where they're truly righteous and perfect before the Lord, they will always be frail, they will always be sinners, and they will always pass away. But by the power of Jesus Christ alone, who alone is enabled to bring everything under His control, His power alone will accomplish taking a lowly, sinful body and transforming it into glory. His resurrection power and works alone will accomplish taking a sinner and making him glorified. His power, His grace, will enable them to know and experience the heavenly glory, the heavenly brightness of the kingdom of heaven, of the eternal place that God has for His people. I do not know this morning your frailties, your pains, your sufferings, your struggles. But one thing I do know is that these words that the apostle speaks to the Philippians are the words that he speaks to the church of all ages. That our bodies, which feel so frail and so weak, will someday be transformed. That the power of Christ alone will enable us to know this glory. That these same bodies, which may be buried someday in the ground, will someday rise and be transformed into eternal righteousness and glory, reflecting the power and glory of Jesus Christ. What comfort this is to any lowly sinner. What comfort this is to the church, not only in Philippi, but throughout the world, that our Savior is in control of each and everything, that His power alone, not ourselves, will accomplish this, and that glorification awaits each and every person that trusts in Him and lives for Him each and every day until eternity. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, how it speaks to us concerning the future. For each of us, Lord, in our weakness and frailty, can identify with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We pray that as Paul has directed us this morning, we may recognize that what the Savior has lived and experienced may someday be our experience. For as He comes to return, He will take us who are humble, us who love Him, and transform us into His likeness. Lord, give us patience to await for this day. Help us direct our thoughts each and every day to this eternal glory which You have for us, which we will enjoy in Your presence through all eternity. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.